The topic of Ava Michaels' history with suicide was controversial in the eyes of the public. On the one hand, it helped the theory that Ava took her own life. She tried suicide before, by the same method, not once but several times. Who's to say the events of August 4th weren't simply history repeating itself? On the other hand, Ava's suicidal history gave prospective killers a very specific blueprint to follow if they wanted to end her life without rousing suspicion. Did this propensity for swallowing pills, these documented attempts at suicide, open up Ava to the most calculated of attacks? Some advocates for mental health reviled the topic of Ava's history with suicide because they thought divulging this information in defense of her killers was the worst violation Ava could experience posthumously. Not only were her darkest hours exposed, but they were now used against her. This argument only holds water, however, if you believe Ava was murdered. Those that don't most likely agree with the judge that this information was both relevant and material at trial.
My name is James Nichols. I was Ava's first husband.
Mr. Nichols, at what age did you two marry?
We were both 18.
Wow. That's very young.
Yeah, we were kids. Ava and I were dating back before she was a star. We lived in the same neighborhood and went to school together. Ava had gotten out of foster care a couple of years before because her mom had gotten out of the psychiatric hospital and could take care of her again. But it was a stressful home life for Ava, and she really wanted to be on her own, and that sounded good to me, you know? I loved her, so we decided when we turned 18 we were going to elope. I still can't believe we actually did.
How long was your marriage?
4 months. Very short. Uh-huh.
Did your parents know you were planning to elope?
No. They didn't until after we came home. It was a bit of a cluster, a big mess. Our families were all angry. They said we needed to get an annulment, and Dave and I didn't want to. Us being kids, you know, trying to assert our independence, said we'd buy our own house, and there was nothing they could do about it. I had money saved up from working, and I just thought I could handle it for the two of us.
So did you buy the house?
No. We folded. After a couple of months of living in a tiny motel room, we went back to our parents' houses and agreed to get an annulment. Hmm.
What made you change your minds?
Well, it started out really fun. We were sort of playing house in that motel. It felt very grown up. We looked at houses during the day, and at night she cooked me dinner. I remember she heated up canned peas and carrots on the stove because she said she liked the color. I don't know what shifted, or when, really. It was a long time ago, but she started having days when she wouldn't get out of bed, and I'd occasionally find her crying, sometimes sitting on the kitchen floor, pressed up against the counter. She seemed to be afraid of something, but it was this something she couldn't put her finger on, that she'd never be a good actress, or our money would run out, or I'd leave her. The thing she was afraid of seemed to jump around. That was the way it seemed to me, anyway.
What happened on September 9th of 1991?
I came back to the hotel and found her passed out on our bed. She'd vomited and wouldn't wake up. I called 911.
She tried to kill herself?
Yeah. Her mom and my parents came to the hospital, and they took back over, which was fine. It felt good to have the grown-ups back in charge. My parents took me home. I never even went back to the hotel.
What happened between you and Ava?
Well, our parents sort of became intermediaries for a while. I was pretty shaken up by what happened. A few weeks later, Ava's mom told my parents that she'd filed for an annulment. That was okay.
Did you ever see Ava again?
Yeah. But the question of us being a couple again, I don't know. It just never felt to either of us like that was in the cards. I went to college and she started acting and that was it. We said we'd stay friends, but we didn't.
All right. Did you ever see what pills they were that Ava swallowed?
Yeah, she took a whole bottle of Prozac.
Was it her Prozac that was prescribed to her?
Yes.
I have started hearing about Tomboy X everywhere, and I was so excited when they became a sponsor. Regardless of where you fall on the size or the gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that any body feels comfortable in. It is about feeling confident, not wearing something with frills but not function. It is not made to femme you up, it's made to fit you and how you see yourself. I loved when bralettes became a thing because it was nice to be supported while having the freedom to wear whatever tank top you want. Bralettes tend to be strappy and sexy, which is fun sometimes, and Tomboy X has those too, but they don't always feel appropriate, and I had not resolved my tank top bra situation until this week when I went shopping on Tomboy X. I ordered this totally original soft bra with an octopus print on it. It is the quirkiest print. I love it. There's no padding, the material's high quality, and I'll be able to wear it with tank tops around my friends or at the brew pub. And if an octopus strap shows, it will not be, Rava, look at me. It will just be a playful, quirky addition to what I'm wearing. There is a heat wave on, and I want to be able to wear tank tops with a bra without being strappy. And it turns out, octopuses are my solution. Beyond that, I just adore Tomboy X's message. There's no rigid gender construct within Tomboy X. There's no limited sizing. It's for everyone. X small to 4X, bikinis to boxer briefs to boy shorts. It's fun and it's comfortable. Go to tomboyx.com/deliberations and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And Deliberations listeners get an extra 15% off with code DELIBERATIONS. Again, code DELIBERATIONS for an extra 15% off. Ditch whatever underwear you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/deliberations. The second time Ava tried killing herself was shortly after the death of her mentor. He was an older man who introduced her around professional circles in the early stages of her acting career. She viewed him as a father figure. Then in her early 20s, Ava witnessed him drop dead of a pulmonary embolism. The day after the funeral, she went to her hotel, alone, and swallowed a bottle of aspirin. She then called her manager to tell her what she'd done. An ambulance was at her house within 20 minutes. Luckily, they were able to help her before permanent damage was done. Ava's third attempt occurred during her second marriage to professional athlete Mark Galagos. He was a center for the LA Kings.
Ava was the love of my life. I still feel that way. She was easy to fall in love with, easy to propose to, easy to marry. And once she met my kids, forget it. No one could have loved them more. She wasn't always the easiest to take care of.
Can you tell us, what do you mean by that?
She felt things more keenly than the rest of us do. And she felt things for other people. She felt everyone's pain, everyone's stress. So that's hard when you're taking on all of that. And when she was sad, it was hard to take care of her. There were moments I got frustrated with her. And that's the hardest thing to remember looking back. Because I wish I had more patience. I wish I had more time with her.
Where did you live with her during your marriage?
She moved into my house in LA.
Now, what happened on December 23rd of 2001?
I was at an away game, and at halftime I got word that she'd been rushed to Cedars-Sinai. I flew back. She took a bunch of Xanax with a bottle of champagne, and my son found her.
Mr. Gallegos, do you believe that Ava tried to kill herself with a Xanax and champagne?
No.
What do you think happened?
I think she took too much. I think she was really upset and trying to calm down, and she overdid it.
What was your reaction to Ava upon reuniting with her?
I was mad as hell. I thought it was careless. My son had found her. He was 16. She was comatose. He had to call 911. I had to leave a game to jump a flight, thinking she might be dead. She scared the hell out of me. And then it was the press. She'd cost my team a win and jeopardized my standing with the organization. It was really bad.
Did you forgive her?
Of course. And I wish I hadn't gotten so angry. It was just, once the fear left me, I was still worked up, and it just became anger.
Did Ava inform you that it was a suicide attempt?
No.
Did she tell you it wasn't a suicide attempt?
She didn't have to. Ava never wanted to kill herself. She had a good life. She just had trouble managing sometimes.
Managing what?
Life, I guess. That's why she drank too much sometimes or take too much whatever. But there were patches. She was never down all that long. She was a good woman.
Mm. I'm so sorry for your loss, Mr. Gallegos. I can see you loved her very much.
I still do.
The end of Ava's marriage to Gallegos was a hard one for her public to accept. Her fans enjoyed watching her on the rinkside seats, with her pink-hued shades worn atop her head like a headband and demure strands of pearls around her neck. Paparazzi snapshots began appearing in the fashion sections of various tabloid publications. In 2007, she and Gallegos released a joint statement announcing their decision to separate, though it was Ava's decision. Photographs of her leaving her house the same day of the statement showed ominous bruising on her forearms and the back of one shoulder. Commentators spewed suspicions that Gallegos' famed temper had resulted in the battery of his wife. But without corroboration, these rumors eventually quelled. Ava and Mark Gallegos remained friends throughout her lifetime. His last show of friendship to her is having one bouquet of red roses delivered to her gravesite every day since her funeral, in perpetuity.
My name is Spencer Fain. I was Ava Michaels' third husband.
Spencer Fain was a stark contrast to Ava's second husband. She went from the traditionally minded, rough-and-tough athlete to the liberal intellectual. The writer, Spencer Fain, was one of Hollywood's most highly acclaimed screenwriters, penning the well-renowned contemporary adaptation of Madame Bovary and the gritty, dramatic series The Guillotine, about, naturally, French Revolutionary soldiers. Ava was brought as a guest to one of his cocktail parties while vacationing in New York, and she became instantly smitten with his intelligence and wit. Spencer was married at the time, so the two behaved very cautiously until a separation and subsequent divorce went through the courts, at which time he promptly married Ava.
She wanted to have children more than anything. That was why there was such a rush to marriage. Ava had endometriosis, which was a menstrual condition highly painful to her, and it made conception difficult. We tried for 3 years, sometimes getting lucky, only to resort in more painful disappointment when she'd miscarry.
Please tell me, how many miscarriages did she suffer from during your marriage?
Three.
I'm terribly sorry.
Thank you.
Did these circumstances contribute to her depression?
Without question. She was in repeated states of clinical depression throughout our marriage. Managing this condition, along with her insomnia, PTSD from her childhood, it was a full-time job.
I'm sure. Did she seek professional treatment?
Of course. She was living with me at the time in New York. I got her into a brilliant psychoanalyst named Dr. Christensen, but there were always a queue of doctors ready to help her into oblivion.
What do you mean?
Prescriptions. There were always doctors around ready and willing to prescribe her a pill for whatever was wrong. I tried to instill in her the importance of natural therapeutic treatments instead of pharmaceuticals, but in the end, she did both.
Mr. Fain, what happened on January 19th of 2011?
We were in the Hamptons, and I was leaving for a game of golf around 5 a.m. one day. I found her in the garage with the car turned on. She was still conscious, but her speech was compromised, and she seemed to be having some cognitive distortions. I called a private doctor to come over because I didn't want to take her to the hospital and have that be in the press.
What did the doctor say?
Really, before the doctor even got there, she seemed fine.
Did you understand this to be a suicide attempt?
I understood this to be a cry for attention, masked as a suicide attempt. Perhaps it was a genuine attempt in her own mind, but Ava knew about my golf game that morning. Let me explain something about my ex-wife. She needed proof, large gestures of other people's love for her, and she needed them constantly to affirm to herself she was loved. She also had a lifelong need to be saved. It was a pattern that was romantic in our early period, but one that quickly became exhausting.
Mr. Fain, did Ava tell you at the time that she was attempting to kill herself in the garage?
No. She told me she couldn't sleep and was leaving the house to go buy bacon so she could make my favorite breakfast. And then she got distracted by a story on NPR, and then she fell asleep.
And is this what she told the medical doctor as well?
Yes, but I didn't believe it.
I didn't ask what you believe, Mr. Fain. Your disdain for your late ex-wife is well understood.
Objection. This is...
Withdrawn, but... I didn't ask what you believed, Mr. Fain. I asked you whether Ava's story to you was consistent with what she shared with her medical doctor.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
These were the four documented accounts of Ava Michaels' attempted suicides, but there was another occasion explored in the courtroom. Following her divorce from Spencer Fain, Ava's New York therapist, Dr. Christensen, asked her to commit herself to a psychiatric ward in Manhattan. After doing so, Ava regretted her choice, but she forfeited the legal authority to check herself out. In a panic, she called her second husband, Mark Gallegos, who rushed to New York and demanded they release her. He was informed doing so would be impossible.
I said if they didn't let her out, I'd tear that place down brick by brick.
Miraculously, due either to the famous Mark Gallegos' influence or the physical threat he posed, the ward released Ava. Gallegos arranged for her to attend private therapy sessions at her home before returning to his Los Angeles estate. The reason Dr. Christensen offered for suggesting Ava commit herself to a psych ward was, quote, a growing suspicion she would harm herself.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ava Michaels led a tragic life. She never knew her father. She watched her mentally ill mother suffer from schizophrenia. She bounced between foster homes, finally growing up and growing successful, only to be thrown into the chaos of public scrutiny. She battled PTSD, clinical depression, and anxiety. She was suicidal from the time she was 18. Her preferred method of suicide was pills. Regardless of whether you believe Ava was legitimately trying to end her life or crying for attention, the point is, she was doing it to herself. You have heard about four cases of attempted suicide, and one occasion on which her therapist thought she was nearing it again. This is a pattern. Now, every one of Ava's suicide attempts was thwarted, and that is wonderful. I applaud every person from Ava's manager to her ex-husband's to her ex-husband's son for having been blessed the opportunity to reach her before it was too late. Dr. Stowe didn't reach her in time. He did get there. He did care about her. He did want to help. But the fact that he failed, ladies and gentlemen, that cannot be held against him. Not criminally, not even morally.
You have heard a lot of evidence about Ava's history with suicide. but it's up to you to determine how relevant, if at all, her history is when determining the guilt of Dr. Stowe. Does Ava's previous struggle with mental illness change what you think happened between Dr. Stowe, Ruth Ivanoff, and Ava Michaels on the night of August 4th? Because, well, I listened very carefully to every bit of suicide-related testimony, and I feel more secure than ever in the state's case. Dr. Stowe was Ava's private psychiatrist. She had a closer relationship with him than any other mental health professional in her life. He knew every detail of her suicide attempts, what she took, when, how she was found. He knew it all. So as a doctor looking to kill his patient and armed with this kind of information, how would you expect him to do it? Ava gave him everything he needed to know how to kill her and mask his involvement. Yes, she was vulnerable. She had a history of very personal psychological struggles. She had suffered. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Stowe preyed on that vulnerability. He used it against her. And now the defense is trying to use her vulnerability against her too, even in her death. We're all entitled to hurt. We're all entitled to make mistakes. Ava hurt. She made mistakes. But that does not undermine her right to justice.
This is Chelsea speaking. I received this variety of socks recently from Bombas, and they really are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. Bombas spent 2 years of research and development, allowing them to create the most improved sock design, ranging from arch support to cushioning to material. It's bananas how well engineered these socks are. My absolute favorite thing about Bombas, for every pair sold, one pair is donated. Socks are the number one requested item in homeless shelters, but you can't donate used socks. When you buy Bombas, you are contributing directly to this genuine need every time you buy a pair. I think that's amazing. To date, they've sold and donated over 9 million pairs. Think about that. I mean, I personally wear them every day, including right now, and I genuinely do not plan on ever buying another brand of sock. I'm sock converted. No matter what you do, Bombas makes socks for you, and they feel so yummy. I'm beyond confident you'll be sock converted too. Deliberations listeners get 20% off their first order. Go to bombas.com, that's bombas.com/deliberations, and you'll get 20% off by entering code deliberations. You'll help your feet, you'll help this show, and most importantly, you'll help someone in need of socks with your purchase. bombas.com/deliberations with promo code deliberations.
I think in hearing and thinking about, you know, all of her past husbands, you know, especially as somebody as a star athlete as, you know, Mark Gallegos, you know, how important would have that relationship been to her, you know, and when that relationship deteriorated and depleted, I could see that making Ava extremely sad and heading towards other husbands and bad behaviors.
She seemed to always find another husband, however. I mean, it didn't take her long after each one of those incidents, whether they be suicide attempts or not, didn't seem to take her very long to find somebody else. Everybody loved her.
Right. She just didn't love herself. You know, Mark is such a big personality.
I was really surprised, actually, that he was so caring. I mean, we know him to have before this court hearing, like, we knew him to just be kind of a boisterous personality, you know? Sure. And, like, he was always depicted as being very angry, but I didn't really see that coming across in his testimony. I mean, when he was angry, he was like the knight on a white horse, kind of going in there using his anger to save her. So yeah, definitely has a sort of a savior. His anger was used in support of assistance, and so that was just an interesting thing to see because I didn't like him before his testimony.
Sure,
see, I don't know who he was. I could care less. Go sports. I don't know, but but you know, you brought up something really interesting, Rose. You know, who cares if he plays sports? But the interesting thing was he and the other two husbands.
Yeah.
They all talked about how troublesome she was and how it required so much of them because she needed so much affection and constant like reassurance, and she was getting into trouble. They all talked about this, but they all talked about it with the sense of like love and respect and adoration. And each one of them said
James.
Yeah.
Yes.
James.
They all did. But the important part is no matter what happened with these failed marriages or whatever, they still have this respect, and not one of them said this was a suicide attempt. They were all on her side, like, this was just misguided, this got away. And so that lets me know, these are people that know her better than her psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, we can't say that. I mean, there's certain mental health at people who are patients, they can hide things from loved ones in different ways. I mean, they all didn't know that, I mean.
Well, when you see somebody 24/7, though, I mean, really.
And three different sexual situations that she was married to these gentlemen. I mean, clearly.
But that was years ago.
They're sharing intimacies of marriage. And these are three marriages that spanned over the years. One in 18, one in her mid-20s, and then one in later in her life. So it shows where she was in her life. But all through this constancy, no matter how much changed, her genuine love and affection and sincerity for herself, the men each saw, and not one of them said that she tried to do this. Mm-hmm. They each said it was misguided.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, Mark, you know, he had a story that he found Ava in 2007, you know, trying to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe...
Well, he didn't say commit suicide.
Or attempt, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. She, you know, where he didn't... Yeah, you're right. He didn't feel that, you know, with a bottle of Xanax and champagne, mm-hmm. she was mm-hmm. trying to commit suicide.
She thought she was being careless.
She did not try to kill herself.
She thought she was asking for help, he said.
Yeah.
He said that. Well, he was mad about his son finding her, not the fact that being failed.
That's true.
And the fact that he missed his game and blew the playoffs or whatever.
Let's not talk about Mark and his temper, because there were photos of her bruised shoulder, you know, in an uncorroborated story that didn't reach the tabloids. But let's think about it. Ava didn't try to kill herself. Mm-mm. These were simply cries for help. Mm. Nothing more. Four times. Let's take a look at her last husband, Spencer Thane. And I'm only speaking to this because I can relate. And a failed marriage of 13 years mm-hmm. with Shannon, I can't even believe I'm speaking her name, she would try to defame my name unjustifiably, throw dirt on me to make me feel bad a certain way, but it was all for attention. Mm-hmm. So my drinking, you know, kind of stems from that, of her trying to make me feel bad. But her cries for attention were elaborate, boisterous even.
Some these aren't say that drinking
these aren't suicide
is elaborate
attempts.
Ways of hurting yourself, too.
That's fine. But these aren't suicide attempts. They're simply cries for help. And in this time, the cry for help wasn't answered. Dr. Stowe simply arrived too late.
Well, hold on a second, though. Let's look at the fact of what she did in each one of these situations. She took a bottle of Prozac. She took a bottle of aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
She got in the car, turned it on, fell asleep. She took, you know, do you know what I'm saying? I mean,
no,
in each one of the situations... She only took one bottle of something, and yet she had
that's interesting.
Three to
that.
Four. I mean, she had four times the lethal amount, plus 80% of something else. I mean, this is all of a sudden a huge change in behavior that
wait
was...
Wait a minute, Ellie, are you saying that all the other attempts that she just took one bottle and then this attempt, she took more than two bottles because they're two different medications? Well, we do have evidence. She just said it. She took a bottle of Prozac.
It's a history of taking bottles of pills that she's
taking. Yeah, but this time she took two bottles.
No, this... Well, we don't know how it was... How she got it in her. But we do know... that she had four times the lethal amount, which is much more than one bottle.
And remember that she's taking these bottles with alcohol, you know, champagne,
but what I'm
vodka.
Saying is, in the past, she's only taken one bottle, and all of a sudden,
why
she
are we speaking to
times?
Bottles like it's one pill, Adelaide?
That's
you're saying
right.
She's only taking a bottle. We
60.
Don't take bottles of pills.
We don't know how much pills right. are in a bottle.
But still, we're...
But I think that we had agreed that we weren't, like, in terms of the pills, I mean, I just want to sort of, I note the pattern that you're noting here, that there's something different about this time, and I think that's, yeah. that is a very good point. Thank you, Adelaide. I'm going to write that down, and we'll just put it down on, like, the parts that we know. So we have a pattern established, and we know this one is different. But you know what I think is just really interesting? I think this, like the bill, I wanted to address something about the call, like calling something attention, that this is a call to attention. I'm not entirely sure that it's okay to discredit pain like that. You know, I mean.
Well, I'm not discrediting the pain, but I mean, we just have to pay attention to the history, the pattern. And I don't want to speak to a bottle or we don't even know the amount, but we know that it's over the amount that a normal human being would take just to ease some pain. We know that she had clinical depression, mm-hmm. anxiety. We know that her mother had a history. She was in a mental facility herself, talking about her mother, and she was administered to a facility where she could not discharge herself, but she had to call on Mark Gallegos, and we all know Mark. He's going to do whatever he has to do to get his girl out.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Bill. I think if she did want to commit suicide, she would have done it at least successfully one of those times. This is her way to get attention, cry for help, get
so
Mark to come
you
running
think that
back.
She I was think, not trying to commit suicide?
Yeah, I mean,
saying?
That's what I'm...
She wasn't trying to commit suicide.
I think she
oh,
was
so
just crying.
She no, wasn't she, trying to commit suicide.
She wasn't trying, but does it mean she did commit suicide?
She
you understand?
Trying
she was
to
trying
cry
to...
Out
exactly.
For help,
right.
like she'd been doing
okay,
in the past.
But if
right.
she was only doing that, why take... four times the lethal dosage.
Well, why do any of the other four incidents that you did? We don't know. We're not in her mind. We just know the clinical history. And we know that she has problems that is probably hereditary. Her mother had problems.
Wait. There's a difference between schizophrenia and depression. A big, huge...
I didn't speak
sure.
to, I didn't speak to either of them.
Her mother was diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yes.
Okay. No.
However, schizophrenia does and can be hereditary.
Yeah, that can be, but...
I think just the fact that
she
decided...
Not necessarily. Most schizophrenia
we're
goes undiagnosed.
We're not looking at the schizophrenia. We're looking at...
She has all okay, there's just a lot of arguing going on here. Everyone's clearly stressed. Can we just vote? Already, like, seriously, we're just going over this evidence over and over and over again. We're bringing up things that aren't even relevant, like the schizophrenia thing. She wasn't schizophrenic. She had depression and other things. Can we just acquit or convict?
Well, okay. Wait, I mean, you mean literally convict or acquit?
I'm literally...
Do you actually not care about the outcome?
Of course I care about the outcome, but we're going in circles. We're literally creating new outcomes that aren't based off the facts.
So here is the problem. Everyone here agrees that she was very, very close to her psychiatrist. And she had these four incidents that you all want to call attempted suicide. Their husbands don't call them that, but that's okay. That's for the purpose of discussion, call them attempted suicide. So she shares that with her psychiatrist because that's what you do with your psychiatrist. You share mm-hmm. all kinds of information. Mm-hmm. And especially that information that's very, very close to you that you really can't share with anybody else. So she shares with him all these things
deep
that she was
secrets.
Doing that was saying, I am in a lot of pain. Somebody please help me. And since they look like suicide attempts, you've got the psychiatrist now has the perfect blueprint mm-hmm. for how to kill her and make it look like it was a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
That's
and especially because he had all that medication that he could use at his disposal to
and he had
to
all that
do
control.
It.
He had her friends picked out. He had her playgroups picked out.
Definitely.
And negotiated contracts with her, went on jobs with her. Even her own press agent on the East Coast met him several times and didn't even know he was her psychiatrist until he called to tell her she was dead of a suicide.
I mean, her whole history, Ava's history, is makes her vulnerable to that type of an attack from somebody
yes.
who knows her mind so completely. I mean, he can essentially frame the death as suicide. suicide. I mean, it's very, so it's manipulative. It's
orchestrated. One way to look at it, you know, what you say with her history.
It's interesting. But it's an, I mean, that's a new vantage point, and I really think that that's...
It is. But you also have to adhere to the fact that her four previous suicide attempts... Your four previous suicide attempts. This is in her history. Her mental instability.
That means he knows exactly how to hurt her.
You guys.
He knows exactly how to hurt her now. Number one, we knew aspirin.
That's one way to look at it through the lens.
No, no. Let's look at it this way. Oh, she took Prozac once because what was going on? So she told him, oh, this happened. Oh, is that what makes you do it? Okay, great. Oh, I took aspirin this time because my friend overslept. Oh, is that what makes you do it? He knows exactly how she ticks and how to set her off.
So you would just discount somebody's whole previous history.
No, history is there. You can have the history. But I'm saying you have a person who's manipulating the history to work for his advantage. This woman was on the edge and he knew exactly which buttons to push.
Had she taken an overdose of pills with her first husband?
It was the first husband.
Yeah.
Yes, right. Had she done that with her second husband?
Yeah.
Had she done that with her third husband?
Get him, Kay.
All right. And had she done that with her fourth husband, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's all just something for Dr. Stowe, this big thing going against him.
Dr. Stowe wasn't even the only doctor that wanted to help her, I'm sure. You all have already alluded to doctors lining up to help her.
Mm-hmm.
She's had multiple attempts of cries for help or suicide.
Multiple people lining up to control her because they know she's vulnerable. She can be told what to do and controlled
so that's
by barbiturates.
Dr. Stowe's fault that she's weak?
Her own ex-husband testifies to the point that there are people lined up to these previous suicide attempts. She was weak.
She was an adult. She's got to take responsibility.
She was a weakened person.
It's not that it's Dr. Stowe's fault that she is weak. That's not the issue. The issue is Dr. Stowe is a professional.
A controller.
A spin doctor. Yes, he is. But he's using her weakness.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
He should have known.
He's a glamour whore.
What he needed to do to
watch your language, Harriet.
He's a glamour whore,
and he didn't protect her.
This poor innocent girl.
She needed protection.
Poor innocent girl.
Hey, Adelaide.
This poor innocent girl who tried to take her life four times. How poor and how innocent can you be? She has more money than us. She has more motive.
Clearly, she needs some help. Then, thanks for your empathy, Bill.
Help taking her life.
Money doesn't mean that you don't have.
And her doctor wasn't even there to help her.
Okay, everyone. Okay. I mean,
let's be more like me and don't talk.
Okay, Mikey.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, Mikey, you've kind of checked out.
Yeah, you just want a verdict. That's all you care about.
Here's the thing, everyone.
You're very right.
Yet again.
You just want to go
you're
home.
Very right. Yeah. I just want
to
go home.
Okay, guys, listen to Rose. She has something to say.
For a woman, I hate having to kind of use my title here to enforce... position, but are we all saying that we just can't agree at this particular point right now?
Yes, that's what we're saying. We don't agree.
Okay.
So he should be, you know what?
No, we're just taking a break. We're not going to make it. We're just taking a break.
Just have to keep going.
We just be civil.
Yeah, we have to
just respect each other. Okay?
I just don't understand why it's so hard for you to see that there are people in the world that prey upon others, that do take control of others, that do try to use others to get their fame.
I don't see why you can say that Dr. Stowe wasn't one of these people.
We just need to, if we can just have a civil discourse as we are civil servants, and that is why we are here, as we were selected so that we would be able to be level-minded in considering the evidence. And I appreciate you, Bill. I appreciate you giving me that side eye, but I appreciate it. Just, I understand that you don't want to put somebody away if they're not guilty. And Harriet, I understand you want to put, and Adelaide, you want to put somebody away if they are guilty. We all here going for justice. We just need to maintain some respect for each other and the positions that we're holding.
I respect you, Rose.
Okay, well, thank you, Krasinski.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We all respect each other. We just don't see that this other doctor respects, you know, this...
There you go.
Ava.
There you go. We could have wrapped it up.
We're not going to kick the dust.
Let's unravel this later.
Let's get some food. Okay.
Whether you believe Ava's history made a suicide more likely or gave her attacker a blueprint for a murder that would avoid detection, the element missing in discussion so far is motive. Motive begins coming into focus when the relationship between victim and defendant begins coming into focus. Next time on deliberations.
Of course, I was attracted to her.
Do you find it inappropriate?
It's suspicious. It's definitely suspicious.
I do think it's suspicious.
Today's cast. Jury. Cammy Middleton. Brandon Lamberty. Teru Hara. Tony Love. Chris Markle. And Becky Brown. Courtroom. Dan Lerner. Nora Fisher. Dominic DeSantis. Jason Marley Rain. And Christopher Mack. On our next jury break, we're diving again into the jury system with another special guest incredibly informed in jury science. I love you guys.